RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Jim O'Gorman is the dirt doctor. And we've asked Jim to come on to RCR to talk about whether soil health and quality can be improved by adopting methods used to sequester carbon through sustainable regenerative practices while maintaining crop quality and profitability. Jim, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Paul, and thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here. And what you've just quoted is the latest statement from the Grower magazine in November 2024. Saying that that's what they're looking for, and it's exactly what I presented to the first organic conference in 2007.
Well, it's going back a few years now.
Yep. things change, and people's attitudes and the ideas about production of high quality food has changed quite dramatically over the years.
Is that because there's better knowledge? Because some would say that knowledge has always been there.
That's correct. I'd argue that the knowledge has always been there, but we're now using more up-to-date techniques to identify and value it. For example, I follow Sir Albert Howard and Lady Evelyn Balfour's work in the early 20th century, and they were looking down a microscope then at the microbiology in the soil and claiming that what they were looking at was effectively the way of the soil working. So the fungi and bacteria that they were identifying were the machinery of good quality, high-class soils.
So the soil is alive?
Absolutely teeming with life. They say that one teaspoon of active organic soil will hold more microbiology than humans existing on the planet.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. How did you, well, I know you're the dirt doctor. Maybe you can explain how you came to having that title, but what got you interested in this? I know you got some land in Kakanui back in the early 1990s. Is that where it started?
Yes. I've been toying with the idea of taking a piece of badly damaged horticultural land and returning it back to organic health from being the chemicalized base that it had come from. And I found exactly the right piece. That had the family had farmed it for about three generations, farming in a drum, and they found that they could no longer afford the chemicals to try and keep the crop going, and they walked off after a crop of Narcissi absolutely failed.
Oh, okay. And that's because, what, the soil had effectively, what, died? Talked about it living just before,
kind of died? Yes, that's the trouble. The game of thrashing it was a rototiller. Year after year after year, just applying the chemicals that they were supplied and trying to make it good. They were just doing nothing more than standard high-class soil practice, nothing more.
That must have been repeated a lot of places, though.
Oh, it still is. It still is. You know, we've got the crops called Roundup Ready. Everything is nuke everything and start again. We can't avoid that, and the farmers who have been taught that aren't prepared to change now because they're just getting into the age bracket where they're getting prepared to retire and move off.
Yeah, it's not really in their direct interest anymore.
No.
So how do you go about converting or rejuvenating, whatever the word is, land that you found there to being healthy again? I mean, a lot of knowledge involved there. What did you have to understand to be able to do that?
Yeah, I was lucky that I was taught by one of the last horticultural teachers at the Tairi High School in Dunedin who had the old school way of looking at things. And he told us that he believed that the chemicals were, or the artificials as he called them, were no good for the soil. So I took notice of that, and he was demonstrating to me how you could create healthy soil from making other applications. And the basis of the whole deal is really good quality compost. But compost alone is not the answer, and neither is the product they now call compost tea, which comes in various forms, sizes, shapes, and
does it come in a bag?
Pardon me?
Does it come in a bag, like a tea bag, I was thinking?
That's exactly it. It doesn't come in a bag or a drum. You've got to make this stuff yourself. So it's elbow grease and knowledge. And I think this is, Paul, is one of the places where farming has separated from the needs of the soil. And that it's been easy for a farmer just to grab the drum that's been recommended to them by the chemical company, do the job, it fixes it, everything's sweet, off we go. Whereas if you're going to do it this way, you actually have to understand your soil, you have to be able to read what's going on in your soil, and you have to be able to look at it from more than one perspective.
It strikes me as there's quite a, as you're talking there, Jim, quite a parallel between soil health in this case and understanding, you know, true soil health and just health in general. Because, you know, the human version of the drum and apply whatever you're told and sit back is, you know, off to the GP and you get the pills and the underlying problem's never kind of addressed, you know?
That's exactly right. Like, fluoro is a good example of this. I wonder how many of those kids that are having their free lunch in school are actually cleaning their teeth after their free lunch.
How do you know?
Yeah, you don't know until the schools are actually promoting that they're doing it. But outside that, you're dead right. Our diet has been atrocious for years. I've been had some hospital visits lately, and I looked at the food and I couldn't believe what they were serving.
Yeah.
Goodness me. But apart from that, our way of living has changed quite dramatically. It's all consumerist view of taking on the world. So if I'm crook or if I've got something wrong with me, I want the doctor to give me an instant fix and let me get on with what I was doing before.
Hmm. Until I've got the symptoms again and go back for more.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
I'm not a farmer, but putting myself in a farmer's sort of mindset. So I've got stock, let's say, or I've got crops and I think of those as particular things.
Yep.
Is it a good way to think about the soil as, well, not, it's not an animal as such, is it? But it's without it, the whole other parts don't work. So you've got to think of it as like an asset in your farming thinking. I'm just trying to find the words, you know, trying to describe it.
It's a good little byline here. I perceive it as tending my underground cow.
Well, there you go, cow, yeah.
Because the weight of my bacteria and mycelium from your fungal strands in healthy soil is about the weight of a cow per acre.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I'm That's tending my underground cow in order that I can look after the overground ones.
Yeah, who depend on it.
Mm, absolutely. And farmers who use this they're now calling the word regen. It's a lovely Americanism.
Yeah, regen, man. I'm into some regen.
That's it. Regen ag. Well, we're into it. Well, we've been into what do we call it? Eco-agriculture for a long time.
Yeah. Though being branded like that is useful, though, because people start to say it and it becomes something. If it's not being talked about, then it kind of doesn't become something. It stays ultra niche or in special interest groups.
Yes, it is. It is. It is picking people up on the way now. You're right. The buzzword is attracting people to look at it. It's also attracting I hate to use the word charlatan, but you know what I'm talking about. There's always the people out there who are prepared to promote stuff for a profit rather than understanding of what's actually going on.
Yeah, I think you'll always get that, but yeah, I take your point. Trying to muscle in on the opportunity.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, most of our farming community are a little bit longer in the tooth than that, and they take this sort of approach with a grain of salt, I'm afraid. They're just not prepared to be told that instant fixes are out there to do this, that, and the next thing, because they're not. And these guys are...
Yeah, so how long does it take then to move to, back to that question before, from unhealthy to healthy soil? I mean, if you're going to reinvent the way you farm in that way, how long is the on-ramp to being able to operate in that way?
Well, you can get a result within a few months by doing applications of your microbiology onto your soil. But even if you're doing that, you're still going to have to increase the carbon content of your soil and make it work for you, rather than just saying, here's a bio spray, let's make it happen. So you can make a substantial change to your whole crop process within 2 years. But I wouldn't expect to have something change in one season. That's entirely wrong. Your soil has got to get used to actually eating again.
Yeah, eating again, yeah. What about the use of, you know, modern hardware and tools in this loop? You know, I'm thinking of highly industrialized pieces of equipment, because it kind of, you want the old way of doing things to kind of match that as a sort of a natural feeling to me, but that may not be possible these days. I don't know.
Well, that, no, you've raised a really good point, and that's what I've been working on. I work with hand tools only and have done since 1991, and that is to demonstrate to the peasant farmer that or to demonstrate that even the peasant farmer can make a living just using hand tools if they apply themselves in an appropriate manner and work with the soil. So, and the idea with those hand tools is to be able to extend them out to machinery such as grubbers and deep tillers and rippers and so on, and get rid of things like your rotor tillers and your rotary hose. These are things that dice and slice your microbiology and destroy it faster than anything else.
Yeah, sort of slice it up, like you say.
Yeah.
When it comes to then sequestering carbon, it seems to me that apart from pine trees, every other sequestering possibility is ignored, yet it's out there. I mean, there's huge amounts of green out there. Presumably that's absorbing something. Is there a way of carrying on farming, because this is the argument, carrying on farming and not, or doing your bit without putting the pine trees on to sequester?
That's where you take the pine trees off and you start putting the carbon back on through their wood chips and their sawdust.
Right. That's a compost sort of approach.
You've got to take
it?
A compost, a windrow size compost to effectively manage your soil that way. If you're going to do that for the farmers out there, you're going to have something like 15 tons per acre on your land of compost. And that's a lot of compost to make off one property in a year.
So how do you get around that?
Well, you lay an area fallow and let it go rank and use that as the basis. And then you've got your animal manure and wood chips from the local sawmills or whatever you can get. Goodness me, Paul, our rivers are lined with ready-use wood chips. They're called willow trees.
Okay.
They're softest, easiest to use, and they're very productive. And they've actually soaked up a lot of the chemicals that the farmers have already dumped in the river.
Okay, so that's a winnable argument, is it? Because that's what seems to be driving, when people call it the war on farming, traditional farming anyway, is contribution to global warming and climate catastrophe. Is that a way, can that argument be won through the methods that we're talking about?
Yes, well, you're probably sequestering more carbon per hectare than any other system by working this way. If you get your composts right in the beginning part of your work, you'll find that up to 60% of your compost must be carbon-based material in order for the soil to respond and start putting in mycelium and fungal strands and appropriate bacteria. And while we're there, Paul, we're finding that just recently we've discovered that a healthy gut biome contributes to a healthy brain.
Yep.
I would suggest that we're going to find very soon that a healthy soil biome is almost exactly the same as a healthy gut biome. The fungi and bacteria are exactly the same that are doing the work.
What happens when you consume chemicals over time that have been applied to the land? What does that do to your biome?
Well, that's exactly it. A lot of those chemicals are designed to kill the very bacteria that we have in a healthy gut. And so we're on a lose-lose situation as far as...
No wonder people are dumber, it seems, Jim, these days.
That's unfair, I'm sure, but yeah.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I can't help wondering.
Yeah, some people keep themselves in willful ignorance. Have to explain that somehow. So what are you growing now?
I've moved from my early potatoes to my tomatoes, and this is part of my proof of my pudding, Paul. I've grown tomatoes and potatoes in exactly the same soil without changing anything for 24 seasons, and the soil is just as healthy now as it was when I started. Now, any soil scientist will tell you, hang on, tomatoes and potatoes are direct relations. They use exactly the same inputs to gain product health. How the heck can you possibly say that they're healthy after 24 years? Well, the answer is I sent a couple of photographs through to CR to have a look, and those photographs show that the potato plants are very, very healthy. Now, that I can demonstrate that, but the scientists are saying, no, you can't do that. You know, 3 years would be the maximum for high-class soils, and your soil is still doing this after so many years. You must be doing something wrong. Well, I'm not. I'm just understanding the cycle of the soil.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have a bit of that knowledge themselves.
They don't need to. Until the market comes along and demands that they change, they're not going to change. Remember, we live in the low-price commodity markets for most of everything that we grow, including our dairy. It's becoming obvious now that if they want to increase their market share in anything, they're going to have to specialise in some things. And so that's what we're doing here. And I think that that's what the agricultural people from AgResearch and from LandWise and so on are looking at now, saying, well, look, hang on, there might be different ways of looking at this thing that we can make advantage of the markets, because we're going to have to look in Europe and further afield to get some of these specialist things in, and they're going to demand certain ways of doing things, and organic seems to be fairly high on the list for them.
We had Andrew Hoggard on a few days ago. He said exactly that. I asked him about, fiddling around with gene technology, et cetera, and what about that as a threat to our industry in that line and the potential of it? And that was his answer. Depends on what the market wants.
Mm.
It didn't seem like there was a principled or philosophical position. It was just, if the market wants that, then we'll just switch over to that and we'll do that. If it wants all GM, we're going to switch over to that and we're going to do that.
And therein lies your problem, is that switching over to something like this isn't an instant thing, and you just can't go out and do it without understanding it. And many of those that are promoting it don't have the full understanding or the years behind them. And one of the things I've always said is I'm not associated with anybody, so I never promote anyone's product. And I've maintained my distance from the market because I don't want to be tainted with people that are coming on with snake oil responses. It's not a way to go. And I've made sure that every year I take soil tests over three different laboratories, and each of the three labs has shown that my soil is healthier as the time goes on.
Yeah, cool. Now, you pre-sell, right? You're not selling on the open market.
Chefs come in my door. I'm lucky to have been asked by the chef from Riverstone Kitchen and from Kuchina locally here in Oamaru to serve them and their nationally recognised restaurant.
Okay, a couple of quick questions to finish on.
Yep.
And that is, something to tell folks about. You're in two documentaries, right? The Dirt Doctor and Earth Whisperer's Papa Tuanuku.
Yes,
so they're on YouTube, I know, because I've checked the links, so they work. And weren't you about to go to a conference in France that the pandemic scuppered?
Yes. I wanted to go there and talk about various bits and pieces here, the how-tos and the abilities to take this into different areas, different types of soils, and test it further.
Yeah, the World Organic Conference, I think that was.
That's right.
Obviously, you know, time is a factor, right? How long do you think we've got to sort our soil out, you know, once and for all, if we really want to carry on and, you know, have a world-class that the buyers or the, depends on the clients want. I mean, how long have we got to change things around? Because to slow the use that we've had up till now down is like trying to slow the super tanker down, right?
That's exactly right. Try telling the oil companies to stop pumping oil.
Yeah.
It's the same level. And of course, the large companies can hive off to Parliament whenever they want to and insist that their product is the greatest thing that that the government ever wanted. Well,
but then you get the ministers promoting it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They should not be saying anything.
Exactly. They should not be drawn into the argument, but I agree with that. But firstly, the market is not going to change dramatically until either the market or our health is so poor that we realise what we're doing is just completely wrong.
Well, RFK and the global publicity of Make America Healthy Again could put a rocket under that.
It would be nice to see that. And once it does, you'll start seeing home gardening and small-scale production taking off quite dramatically in places like New Zealand. I'm certainly hoping that anyway. Because all I can be, Paul, really, is a set of shoulders like others to stand on that others can take a springboard from. That's all.
Fascinating chatting with you, Jim, the Dirt Doctor, Jim O'Gorman. Wouldn't mind trying some of your spuds.
Well, if you can make it down here sometime, Paul, I can go and pick dinner for you and we can sit together and have a little chat.
Fascinating chat. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, my pleasure. And thank you very much for the invitation. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.